If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6 and verse 1. John 6 and verse 1. A very familiar passage to most folks. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you that you forgive us. You forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. You forgive us when we fail to thank you for everything that you do provide. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this congregation that has gathered, this church that has gathered in your name this morning to worship and to hear your word proclaimed. Father, we ask that you speak through me the word you would have them to hear. Clear their hearts and minds of the cares of this world. And Father, may they take with them the things you would have them to hear and to do. In thy name we pray. Amen. I have a question for you. What if we have a little boy? I got ahead of myself before I ask you the question. We got 5,000 men. They think there was close to 20,000 people. That's an estimate. Because they didn't count the women and children. But given a reasonable estimate, maybe 20,000 people sitting in the grass. They don't have anything to eat. They got one little boy here. He's got a basket with 5 small loaves, which were about the size of a bread roll that you get in a restaurant with your food. And he's got 2 small fish, which would have been about the size of your hand. And they're going to take this and they're going to feed 20,000 people. But the bigger question is, what would have happened had the little boy refused to share his lunch? "No, this is mine. You can't have my lunch." And besides that, how's it going to feed everybody? What good's that going to do? So many times, we think what we have is so insignificant, so insufficient, that we're not going to use what we have to help the situation at hand. Sometimes we feel that we can't make a difference because it's just me. It's just what I have. You ever felt that way? You know, a lot of times you hear people say, well, I don't vote in the election because one vote's not going to make a difference. Well, if everybody thinks that, then nobody votes, right? One vote makes a big difference. But what if he hadn't given his bread and fish away? But he gave it willingly. And then Jesus took this very small amount, this very insignificant amount, and he gave thanks to the Father for it. And then the miracle of miracles, God gave the increase. With five rolls and a couple of fish, he fed 20,000 people, and they took up 12 baskets of the leftovers. He started out with one little basket, and then they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Do you see how God increases there? Now, this is a message, really, about thankfulness, but we're going to go around our elbow to get to our thumb. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression or not. We're going to take a long way around. Are you thankful? Are you truly thankful this season? Are you not thankful because you're going to overeat, which I'm going to do. I know. I always do. I say I'm not going to, but I do anyway. Not thankful because of the abundance that we have, but are you thankful? Do you ever think that you have enough or that you don't have enough? Turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Back up just a little bit. Luke 6:38. Jesus gives us the secret to having enough and to being thankful. He says, give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, sometimes we think that the amount that we have is so insignificant that we can't give very much. A lot of times we're not thankful because we feel like that we don't have enough to give. A lot of times we're thankful because we're not thankful because we don't feel like we have enough. When if we would use what we have and give just like the little boy and give what little we have and try to use what we have to help people, if we would give generously, if we would give sacrificially, then Jesus says it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together so that it all fits together really tight and pushed down in there and still running over. But instead of that, we want to hoard it all. We want to say, no, this is mine. I'll give you a little bit. We want to give back to God out of the excess that we have. And if you give out of the excess, then it's not really sacrificial giving, is it? If you give out of the extra that you have, then it's really not asking anything of you because you're giving out of the stuff that you really didn't have a need for. When you give sacrificially, you give that it's going to cost you a little something. God wants you to have faith in Him. He wants to try you. He wants you to give out of something that you are going to use for something else. Give it to God. Give it to somebody who needs it. Let the Lord use it, and He will increase giving you back. He'll give back to you increasingly. We don't have the faith that we're supposed to have if we can't trust God with what He has given us. It's not ours anyway. We want to tell people, oh, I did this, I did that. We focus on self. When we're giving to somebody, when you're giving sacrificially, when you're taking some of your hard-earned stuff and you're giving it to somebody in need, when you're helping somebody in need, when you're giving of your possessions, when you're giving of your time, when you're giving of your talent, when you're giving of your money, you don't have time to focus on self. You start counting your blessings differently. You don't focus on I, me, and all of that stuff. You start focusing on them, and you start praising God in a different way. But when you start just giving them out of the little bit of extra that you have, which most of us don't have that much extra anyway, when you're just giving them out of the little bit of extra that you have, well, I can give them this $5 or I may have time next Saturday to help if I don't have to do this or if I don't have to do that. you're focusing on self, and you keep focusing on self, and you start saying, well, I need this, or I need that, or I want to increase on this over here, and I've got to have that. And then so pretty soon you see how it goes. The eye gets bigger and bigger and bigger till you can't see God. You can't see Him at all. And you keep pushing Him away, and the eye gets so big that God's way over there somewhere, and you can't see Him, you can't hear Him. You get farther and farther away from Him. Jesus is speaking, give and it will be given to you. We need to give sacrificially. The old saying, give until it hurts. You know, athletes, when they train, they say you gotta feel the burn. Well, we need to give until it hurts. Give until it, you know, it's something. Maybe you need to sacrifice. Maybe you don't need that new car. Maybe you don't need to remodel. Maybe you don't need the new clothes. Maybe you don't need the new shoes. And some people have a lot more than others. Some people have just a little. Some people have a lot. It doesn't make any difference how much you have. You can give sacrificially no matter what your status. If you have $5, you can give $4 out of it, or $3. If you got $50, you can give $30. If you got $5,000, you can give $3. He doesn't care about the amount. He cares about the heart, the attitude that says, I trust God to give more of this than I really can, and know that He's going to bless me by doing that. It's not the amount of money. It's not the amount of time. It's not the amount of material. It is the attitude of the heart that He's interested in. And if you're worried about the amount, if you're worried about how much, about the time, about the money, about any of that, then your heart is not right. If the little boy had said, if I let you have, I tell you what, I'll give you 2 rolls and a fish and I get to keep 3 and 1 fish. It wouldn't have worked. He gave it all. Do you think if the widow, when she was going by the collection box, had thrown in 1 penny, Jesus would have said, I tell you what, she sacrificed more than anybody else that's put in anything? No, she gave it all. She gave both pennies. When's the last time you gave it all to Christ? When's the last time you put everything in for God? In 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, he gives us a list of attributes of folks in the last days. And he goes through a whole list of really bad stuff. Men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lustful. They'll be blasphemers. They'll be murderers. There'll be everything you can think of. But one of the things that he says in the middle of all of that is he says they'll be unthankful. Why did he put unthankful in the middle of all these really bad things that people are? It sounds like a list that he got off the evening news today. Sounds like he turned on Fox 8 or WXII in the evening and he said, oh, okay, I'll write this down. This is what's happening. But in the middle of all of that, he says, they'll be unthankful. In verse 2 of that list, he says, unthankful. Because if we're not thankful for the little things in our life, if we're not thankful for the things, the little mundane things that God does for us, when we fail to thank God for all the little things going on in our life, when we fail to thank God for His mercy, for His grace, for His love, for His provision, for His wisdom, for His sacrifice, there again we start focusing on self. You know, if we didn't thank Him for anything but His sacrifice, for the opportunity for eternity, we were talking about this in Sunday school. You know, if somebody goes to the doctor and they come back and say you got a month to live, do you start worrying about money immediately? You don't think about that. You think about time with family. How much time you're going to get to spend with loved ones. You don't automatically say, oh man, can I make $1,000 more or $2,000, and can I spend all my money before I die? You know anybody that's thought that way? We don't ever think about that. We think about his sacrifice. We think about eternity. We think about family. We think about loved ones. We don't think about those things. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15, I want you to turn there. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, Paul's writing to the Corinthians. The Corinthians are not real wealthy folks. They're the Corinthian Christians weren't. They were doing pretty good, but they weren't real wealthy. Now, but they're going to take up an offering for the Christians in Jerusalem who were going through a really tough time. And they were in dire straits. So they're taking up an offering. And Paul's writing to encourage them to give of what little they got in Corinth to the people who have even less in Jerusalem. He's saying, I know you don't have much, but God loves a cheerful giver. And he says, if you sow sparingly, if you don't have much, I know, but if you give just a little bit, then you're going to reap just a little bit. But if you give generously, then you're going to reap a bountiful harvest. And there's going to be a lot of people giving thanks. The thanks are going to be multiplied. There's going to be a lot of people giving thanks to God because of your generosity. See, we oftentimes think about what we're giving in terms of what it's costing us. What I could do with that. Paul is encouraging us to think about what we're giving in terms of how many people are going to be giving thanks to God. How many prayers of thanksgiving are going to be given to God Almighty because of what you have sacrificed. That's a new way to think about whatever you put in offering plate, whatever you give to this thing that we're raising money for, that thing, the toy ministry, the food drive, whatever it is. Think about the lives that are touched. So often we think that people accept this stuff and never consider where it comes from. But I guarantee you that every bit of this stuff that we do through the Baptist, Surrey Baptist, and every bit of this stuff that we do through Baptist men, every bit of this stuff that we do through the youth programs where we go on mission trips, all of this stuff is done with the gospel message wrapped around it. And every bit of that is going to be done with at some point, thanksgiving being said for that gift, for that sacrifice that you made. So this week, even today, when we eat together, when we break bread together as part of our Thanksgiving celebration, think about the abundance that we have. And think about how we can give sacrificially. Not just at this time of year. You know, we give a lot at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but the homeless, the hungry, especially the lost, are with us 24/7 year round. What happens to those folks after the holidays? They're still out there. They're still cold. They're still hungry. They're still lost. They're still dying and going to hell. We have a lot to be thankful for in this country. Yeah, we got a lot of problems. Who doesn't? Satan is alive and well. Sin nature is alive and well. We're still free to gather and worship. We're still free to discuss Christ with people on the street. We can still hand out Bibles in a lot of places. There's a few places we can. We still have more opportunity to share the gospel in this country than any other country in the world. And yet we choose as Christians to whine about the few opportunities that have been taken away from us. Instead of focusing on those, we need to focus on the opportunities that we have to share Christ. And if we shared Christ more, maybe enough people would come to Christ that we wouldn't lose the opportunities that we do have. Amen. A lot to think about at Thanksgiving other than a turkey, isn't it? Creamed potatoes are my favorite, sweet potatoes. What about you? Have you been a little bit stingy with your giving? Or are you still sitting there thinking, man, this preacher's weird talking about giving and Thanksgiving at the same time? The two words go together, don't they? Giving. Thanksgiving. Maybe you need to come to the altar and ask Jesus about how you need to change your attitude about giving. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He gave everything. He left a throne in heaven and came to earth as a helpless baby to be raised by sinful humans, subject to all our diseases and colds and mess, ultimately giving his life so that you could have salvation. All he asks is that you come and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Confess it and ask him to be Lord in your life. That's all he asks. If the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you about that, you're not going to find any peace until you address it. I guarantee it. You can talk to me. You can talk to any of the deacons. You can talk to Alex. But we're going to have a hymn of invitation. as the musicians come, you need to get your heart right with God, whatever He's dealing with this morning. Won't you come as we sing?